What questions do you have for me before we get started?
Why do you do this thing?
It's always good because you never just know. You mean the podcast or asking these questions?
The podcast.
You know, initially when I started, it just felt like a natural extension of the questions I had about people, about processes. But the more I've been doing it, because there are so many reasons to stop. It's a lot of work. I've taken it as a ministry. I share it up only.
You know? That's what I'm asking you. Why are you doing this?
Like, people are lonely. Can you still hear me?
I hear you very well.
People are lonely. People are confused. And then you just find that just even sharing your own story can liberate other people.
Correct.
You know? So it's a ministry now. I don't have a pulpit, but this is as close as one. I've seen the impact it's had on my life and on people that I'm working with. And I just thank God that I'm able to now see more meaning. Initially, when I started, it was just, I won't lie to you, I knew I was supposed to do it, but I didn't see the full meaning. And even as I now, the meaning has gotten fuller, but I feel like the more I keep doing it, the more I just keep, you know, no matter what happens to me, storms raging or anything like that, I'll keep doing this until I hear a contrary opinion from God. But yeah, it's become a
mystery. I just wanted to see the passion behind it, because I know you've been very consistent. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
It's just me to come here and sit here and do this. I can tell what it has taken you. And we have to go back and forth.
I've been doing this for 7 years. Yeah, I let the guests not to even stress at all, because I mean, I try to work around their schedules and always thank them that, because without the guests, the show is just, how many stories can I tell? We're almost 300 episodes, you know. How many stories can I tell? You even get bored, you know. We start fabricating lies, which is I'm not all about that kind of life. So the guests make the stories, they make the community. People will see you shine, but they don't know what you've gone through to get to that place. That's what I want to replicate, that we all have struggles in life, you know. And don't say because you're seeing all the glory, you don't know the amount of kneeling down they've had to do to pray to God and the hustle. So that way you can also respect your own journey. God is taking you through a season in life. So yeah, that's really why. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Philosopher.
Yeah, let's
okay.
Eat it.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Versible Podcast, a show for curious minds and culturally nomadic souls. And today's conversation, I'm so excited to bring this person back because it was just here not too long ago. And I feel this conversation is one that gently pushes us to think deeper about presence and leadership at home. So again, I'm thrilled to welcome back this person because we're here episode 9. So I'm going to reference that episode a lot. So if you're here to catch up on who they are, we're not going to be asking about where did you grow up. Go and do that assignment. We've already given you the episode. Go and listen to it. We're going to link it in the show notes. So I'm thrilled to welcome back Chris Chima. He's a seasoned entrepreneur, a values-driven leader, and a proud father of 4, and a loving husband to Miss Vivian. With nearly 2 decades of experience in building businesses across Nigeria and Canada, Chris has learned how to lead in complex, high-stakes environments. But in this episode, we talk about a different kind of leadership, the kind that happens behind closed doors, in living rooms, around dinner tables, and through quiet moments with his children. We explore what it means to him to father with intention, to lead a household across cultures, and parents in ways that reflect healing, purpose, and deep-rooted faith. Again, if you haven't already, be sure to check out episode 9, which is, you know, some episodes ago, 4 or 5 episodes ago, where Chris shared his entrepreneurial journey and all he does on purpose-driven business. Today, we pick up from where we left off, this time on the home front. All right, let's get into it. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to be here the second time.
I know, it's me. I'm the one to be thanking you for coming again, and I appreciate all of your consensus to make this happen. So, as you know, as a parent, one thing you realize is that the blueprints you have from parenting is usually from those who parented you. So how would you say your background as a whole has shaped, you know, for better or for worse, whatever you're able to share, has shaped who you are as a father?
Yeah, very important question. I start by saying that I was raised primarily by my mom, and I watched her go through thick and thin for me to go to school. I watched her go through hard times for me to become who I am today, and I owe everything I am today first to God and then to her. She's the God I could lay my eyes on as a human being. So I saw tenacity, I saw consistency, I saw empathy, I saw a woman who will not give up for you to become what you are meant to be. So I made up my mind that it's like a question, what am I going to do for all that this woman has done? I made up my mind that I'm going to be a role model to my children. I'm going to be a father indeed. I'm going to be a husband indeed to my wife. Okay? Because I these are the things they say, that an apple does not fall far from its tree, from the tree. So I saw things in my mom that I said to myself, she had the liberty to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do something else. Okay? But she stayed on there and raised me, of which I'm very proud of today. Okay, I tell people, I say, listen, don't look for my mom's legacy anywhere. I am her legacy. Okay, so that's it.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. You know, I mean, we'll explore a little bit more of that. And sorry to hear, I know you're during the first episode, you shared how your mom, you know, passed away. I think it was 2018 or 2021.
2018. You're right.
2018. Yeah. And you have three siblings, older brothers,
exactly.
And then you're the last. Are
exactly.
You the last? Yeah.
Wow. I'm the last.
Wow.
I'm the last.
Yeah. I recall a lot from that episode how you were so independent, and then the first time you looked at Chaco and you thought about money, you know?
You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So if you're at liberty to share again, given that I just want to tease this as respectfully as I can, when you said you were raised primarily by your mom, was there like a divorce or your parents just lived separately? Because I know in Nigeria we have different ways of households, you
exactly
know,
okay fine. So my parents went through a divorce when I was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they came back later on when I was 20, but you know come on man, it's already
20.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
you were, that's too late for you.
But but they were never, they came back, when I say they came back, they came back on the surface, because it's not going to work. They've been apart for how many years, okay?
So
I was practically raised by my mom. I lived with my father a short time. We never had a great time, okay? And I say that respectfully. So we had a just son-to-father relationship. Whatever you wanted, I give you. Okay, so that's it. So, but like I said, the person who saw my journey, who was committed to it steadily, was my mom. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and I'm grateful to God for such a mom. Okay, because I watched her, she give everything. In my secondary school, people knew me that I wanted to make her proud at all time. So every time I saw all she went through, that was the bedrock of my lifestyle in school. Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to do anything that would make her regret paying the price she did and all that.
Yeah.
So I studied hard, I did everything. In fact, some of my secondary school people, they would be like, you know, some they'll be like, oh man, I'm sure you did make your mom proud. You did make your mom proud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in the front burner. I never wanted to have an issue in school and pursued. I was stopped there. You know, I just had to keep going because that was the little I could do to say thank you for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay, because now that I'm an adult, I have 4 children, mm-hmm. I can tell you that raising kids is not a walk in the park.
Don't worry, don't have to
if
tell
you
me.
Want to be a real father.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I imagine as a father, it's a whole different kind of beast too. Yeah.
Yes, you know, yeah. So You want to be a real father. It's a lot. It's not just about providing.
No,
it's a lot. You know, you have to care. You have to listen. You have to be committed. Indeed, you have to love. And one of the ways to teach love is for you to love the mother of your children.
The mother of the child, yeah.
Okay, and children do what they see you do, and not what you tell them to do.
Mm.
You know, that's the thing. So if you show love to your wife, which is the mother of your children, automatically your children will learn love at home.
Mm.
Okay? And that's very important to me. And that's why I say something that I'm a family man to a fault. And I'm not apologetic about it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I hear, you know, people will say, oh, if you marry somebody who is from a divorce home, it has not played with me.
Yeah.
Because I say something, divorce gives you an opportunity for you to do it right. Because now you have tasted that side. Because a lot of time in marriage, I see people who are misbehaving. There are people that their parents have been married for 40 years. They've been married for 30 something years. And they're misbehaving in marriage.
I see we don't have parents, yeah.
Because, you know, anything that comes easy, you trivialize it.
Mm.
For those of us, you were raised by a single parent, a single mom. You understand what it means not to have, that you have a father who is alive, but he's not present.
Mm.
You understand what it means to say, you make up your mind and say, this buck must stop here. It must never cross my own generation.
Mm.
You know? So that's the thing about it. So it does not always follow, oh, don't marry, because I know Africans will be like, Nigeria, oh, don't marry somebody whose parents were divorced. No, it gives opportunity for him to do it right.
Yeah.
Because there are two things. You can have a parent whose marriage was stable and you take it for granted and you didn't pick up anything. You can have parents that had turbulent marriage, and you make up your mind and say, you know what? Now I know what, you know, what rocks this boat. It must not happen here.
Mm.
So it's a choice.
Mm. Thanks for sharing that. And I guess that really answers my next question about intentionality in parenting. And I'll also commend you that it's one thing to learn. You talked about how if you have things easy, you might trivialize it. Yeah. But sometimes, even in the midst of learning, you might forget. You might just say, you know, for you to be very intentional about, you know, this book, that takes a lot of work. I think it takes twice or even three times work, because the default of what you know is that. But to walk counter current, you know, and say, okay, no, I'm going to make sure I change. I change narrative. I'm present. That is hard work. So I commend you for that. And I've seen the way you and Vivian parent. I just love the kind of relationship you have with your kids. And I pray that, you know, all of your hard work will yield. I mean, they're already yielding fruits and all that, but they'll keep yielding fruits in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
And as we're talking about, you know, growing up with your mom and how you were in school, I imagine that some of the societal pressures too, once they hear that, oh, their mom is she's from a broken home. Even things a normal child, a regular child would do that is not from a broken home. But because, you know, they know that your mom is a single mom, they say, it's because there's no father at home. Because there's no father at home. So do you feel like a lot of stress as a way to really make sure that your mom never had anything to, you know, worry about when it came to you?
No, there was no much. For me, one of the things I do in life is I practice acceptance.
Mm.
Where am I now? What can I do from here? Okay, it has helped me in life. Okay, I'm being raised up by my mom, yes, and so. So now what do I do such that you wouldn't find a trace to say, oh, he was raised one-sidedly, one-sided by only one parent. No, I made up my mind to say, listen, whatever that she lacks in her own ability to give me, that's why I went to church. That's why I say that I'm a child of the community. I was raised in the community. I listened to a lot of things that were taught. I say my spiritual father, I say, is my mentor, and yet I don't have interaction with him. You know why? Because church was where I was going to listen to the word and balance out whatever was missing at home. So my going to church was not ceremonial. It was all intentionality to say that, listen, whatever. I sat down in marriage classes as a teenager. I will go. I wanted to listen and know what I shouldn't do. I was getting ready for marriage. Way. I was ahead of some of my peers 10 years into some, well, because I was listening. I was trying to find out what was the thing wrong with this thing. And that's why I have a little passion when it comes to family life. Okay. Because for me, everything will begin and fall at that place. Your career and all this, you can be anything outside. Outside the home, you can try to form your anything. But you see that nucleus zone, that's where you are known. That's where everything about you is known. So if you win in that place, you win everywhere you go. Okay? Because that's the place whereby after all the accolades outside, you're a successful businessman, you're a successful professional, whatever it is. When you get back home, the people who will tell you to your face and say, listen, Oga, this thing, you didn't do it well. This one, you didn't do it well.
Yeah.
Because that is where the criticism will start. And you learn these things in family.
Okay?
Now, so whatever you lost, not having it as a balanced growth when you were growing, you should find yourself in a community where you can gain that thing back. Okay? And you do it with all sense of purpose, not just be mindless about it. I have friends that their parents has fantastic stable marriages, but they were misbehaving. They were misbehaving because they found those things normal. They found, and I'm like, this is a situation of, as they say in Nigeria, you have head, you don't have cap. You have cap. So for me, I just practice acceptance. Where am I now? What do I need to do right now?
And how do I feel?
And to keep moving. That's it.
Whew. Thanks for that, Jim, you touched upon. And I also want to make this note about our communities that we come from. I know that in this podcast, we talk about Nigeria a lot, but one thing I really do want to say about the culture we come from is that whole concept of it takes a whole village to raise a child is still mostly true. As someone who's worked in the foster care system here, because we don't have, for example, in Nigeria, we don't have a defined, DHS where people can, drop off, the extended family, the community, the teachers, the religious organizations, they serve as the de facto foster parents that we're going to live with your uncle or this auntie that I met somewhere in Lagos. Let them help you put you through. But that we have that, we don't know how good that is, because here, even people that have family members, they can't even rely on them. Kids are pulled out of the home because their parents don't have a healthy model. And who do they end up, who ends up taking them? The system. Or they either end up in jail or end up in foster care. So I'm thankful that we still have those mechanisms in Nigeria. Now, don't get me wrong. We still have issues with abuse and all that going on. We can acknowledge that as well. That said, that our community, we don't raise our kids in isolation. And I really hope that that's one of the things that stays. With all this globalization, people living and moving and trying to adopt, all kinds of culture, that family unit and the respect for, it takes a village, Omowani is our child. So thanks for that reminder. Now,
and I'll say this too.
Oh, go ahead.
And I'll also say this because, it's, I don't know who will listen to this. I won't say this to those of, African descent. Understand something. You can live in the West, but watch something about people from Southeast Asia. Everywhere they go, though they live in that place, they bring the same value, the way they raise their kids from where they are coming from, is the same thing that they implement in their homes. What makes a society what a society should be? Number one, you are law-abiding. Number two, you understand the things that you should do within that society to advance the society. So, every anomaly we see adults exhibiting today, a lot of it came from the home. And that's why it's important for us to understand that we cannot chase careers at the expense of raising our children. We cannot, that your child is speaking like an American does not mean that your child is well behaved.
It's progressed,
Don't get it twisted. Because I see these things, leave them, let them, because your child is rolling their tongue, does not mean anything. It doesn't mean nothing to me. What matters, that child can roll the tongue and go to jail. That child can speak like a Canadian and go to jail. So you have to sit down as a parent and do your work. Somebody said that one of the reasons that the Nigerian community has succeeded in the West is because in their homes, they raise their children as if they're in Nigeria.
Mm.
Okay? What am I trying to say? To say that, listen, you need to understand that
when I went to school,
my kids, uh-huh. they have a private tutor to date. It helped me when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
So some other parents, they never did it. And maybe it didn't help them. Okay? But my own children have private tutor to date. That they teach them after school, they still do it. We do it in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah.
You cannot now say, oh, because the four walls of the classroom is fine and all that. Don't be fooled. Look at things critically. Are they catching up? I used to tell my children, your teacher will tell you, no problem. I say, the way they tell you no problem is that you are not their problem. And I would like to let you know, it's a problem. If you don't do your homework, there is a problem. The teacher says that there is no problem, because though in this place, they don't want to offend anybody. Me, yeah. I will offend you. My children, I'm not your friend. I am not your friend. I am your father. I become your friend when you are 18. But right now, to instill the culture, the value system, I have to do what I have to do as a father. I'm not your father. So your teacher said there is no problem. I am telling you there is a problem.
There's a problem. Okay. Which brings me to my next question. I think you've eased us into it. So raising children between two worlds, in your case, Nigeria and Canada, must bring its own kind of tension, which you've alluded to, and its beauty as well. How do you help your children stay rooted? What additional things you do to make them stay rooted while also giving them wings?
Okay, fine. So one of the things I do for my children is this. I try to explain to them, listen, kids, my three girls came from Nigeria. We're very young, so they don't really understand certain things, okay? But at least they had some, maybe the first can understand some things from Nigeria. But I try to bring the Nigerian vibe into the home.
Mm.
So number one thing first is this. When I go to American Embassy that is in Nigeria, what is that place called? It's America.
Yeah.
Even though the building is inside Nigeria,
it's
right?
It's still American territory, yeah.
So, when you are inside this house, this is my own embassy here. Outside, when you go outside, that is Canada. Okay? Now, this is what you are going to do to marry both society. I am the visionary, okay? I go outside. I pick the Canadian thing, I bring it home. As I'm outside, there are already things that I pick from Nigeria where I'm coming. I'm not going to throw it away. So, we are going to marry both of them so that you can have a balanced life. How do I start doing that? For example, that brings me back to what I said. When you don't do your assignment and your Canadian teacher says there is no problem, no children are different. Where the other side that I went to bring from outside, from Nigeria, says that there's a problem. So now you can see that there is a problem. So what are we going to do?
A problem.
To be able to solve this issue, the Canadian side that is outside that we brought in, the Nigerian side that is outside that we brought into this embassy, okay? Because this is our family, now this is our own embassy here. So the two sides we brought, one side said there's no problem, this one said there is problem. And I worked this part for 40 years that said that there's a problem. So believe me that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, what are we going to do to start solving that problem? Number one is you're going to do your assignment. Number two, you're going to ask your teacher, your private tutor, critical questions relating to your work.
Mm.
Number three, you're going to be ahead in class. I know they don't grade you people here first, second, but in this house, I want to know, are you first or second? That is the way I was taught. So, and you have to know how it's going to show when you are going to high school.
Yeah.
You're going to know if you're already in what they call the AP class, they call them the ones that are
advanced placement. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you're not in that class, just understand that you are not first. So we have to balance it. So because when you balance it, you're going to have a child that is whole, a child that is, you know, that is sound and confident. And I tell my children, leave all the things that are in your generation that I invoke. That's not what counts.
That's okay? Hard though. That's so hard for them.
Yes, I understand. And I try to work them with it. I try to play with them with their own Gen Z languages. Okay? Yes, I do. I play with it. I ask them. When they say something, I say, what did you say? That's Gen Z language. I'm saying, no. Tell me, I want to know. Tell me the meaning.
But when you use it, it stops looking cool, daddy.
And they tell me that, then you know, like they say, they do some, what say, they mew.
Yeah, mew. Yeah, the mewing there. Jesus. Your girls are going through that to mewing. It's a TikTok trend. I just learned it too.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do what? And I do it with them. Okay? Why? I mask myself into their world. So that because I'm looking for things that shouldn't be with them, so that I can expunge it.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Uh-huh. So I do not leave them in isolation. It's not command. There's something we have to understand. Where we're coming from, you are commanded. And you didn't know. It's not command.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It is skillfully, is skill. Understand that this child, you need to know all your children. Once you know the kids, you know their capabilities.
Yeah.
You know this one. See this one? I must sit with this one to be able to get the message. This one, I need to just say it. She has got it. But this particular one, we have to sit down together. We have to discuss it. I have to provide the big picture. And I have to let her tell me because everything, you must explain why.
Some kids will try.
We have to explain. So the difference is where the is not, it's not, you know, it's not breaking
brute
the law.
Force. No.
It's not breaking the law in the country where you live. Okay? In Nigeria, you say, beat the child. Do this.
This
case, you don't beat the child. But there are things you do to the child. For example, came into the girl's room one day and the clothes were everywhere. Okay? Happened the first time, second time, third time. What did we do? We packed all the electronics. I packed all the tablets, all of them, to my room.
Whoa.
Just in taking that tablet, I said it's going to be with me for the next 2 weeks. It was as if they are no more longer living in this world.
You took the oxygen supply off.
It's as if I took the oxygen supply. Is oh, Dad, come to the room. Come and see the way the room is looking. I said, no, I'll come at my terms. I said, it's not because I'm with your tab now. I want to see consistency that the room, you're able to be scattering your clothes here and there. But you see, they got the message. Where we are coming from is you have collected the party and collected some extensive this thing. Where we're coming from.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying that as a parent, you need to understand how to interpret parenting within the context of the country where you need. See that you are still within the purview of the law. You are not breaking the law, yet you are raising your children in the right direction. And one of the things I tell my kids is, okay, watch it. I say, see, is this fair? The government says, no. Don't touch the child. Don't need to interact. But the government will build more prisons. So I said, if the government says, don't do this, and they put punitive measures to say, okay, punitive measures say, if you break the law, you're going to prison. I said, doesn't that tell you that there is something that is not right?
Exactly. So once the child is of age, you can't wait to just grab that child away from me and lock them up.
Do you understand? I said, something is not right. So that means that as much as the government says, oh, I cannot do this X, Y, Z to you, but the government has safeguarded society by providing the prisons to put those people who are abnormal to go that way. So if you don't want to go to that place, you have to start listening to what I'm telling you. Because I've been here before you came.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing governments come, governments go. And the laws have remained the same.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I mean, that's really wonderful. And I think I love how you're able to share those perspectives. Because you have, you know, you have three girls and a boy. And that dynamic as well, gender dynamic also play. Because there's a way you parent. And then even controlling for that, you also talked about the kids' personalities because they're different. Our kids don't have the same parents. You have to parent them understanding how they interpret and how they even absorb information, and it takes a lot of patience. So I appreciate you for explaining that. So I'm curious to know though, what's one Nigerian parenting rule that you've kept and one that you've lovingly broken? Because like you said, you have to interpret parenting in the context that you're in. Things that might work back home might not work. Are there some rules you've broken lovingly, and then some rules you've kept while you're parenting your kids in a different country?
Okay, so one of the things I've kept in my home is respect. You do not see an adult and you say hi. Don't do that in this family. It's not done. I don't care how many families are doing it. We don't do it here. Okay? Where I'm from, originally, from the Southeast, we do not prostrate.
Yeah.
Okay? However, we have to greet you with respect. Okay? And I say, in this house, you don't call somebody's mom by name.
What about auntie? Because I know Igbos, you call my mom auntie something, which, you know, I think is cute though.
Yes. Yes, we do. We do that. Okay? Auntie is auntie.
Yeah.
Uncles are uncles. Okay? Now, so these are the things that we'll let you keep. Respect. Honor. Honor. To honor people. All these rascalities that we'll find in some of this, some of this crime. No, don't do that here. Mm. I remember when we just moved to Canada, we used to live in an apartment building. So we had this guy who was the facility manager. He was over 70 or so. So my kids would say to him, his name was, let's say his name is Jill. So he say, Jill, Mr. Jill, good afternoon, sir. He would tell my children, I am not sir, I am Jill. When we live there, I tell my children, tell him, sir. Say, tell him, sir, Mr. Jill, sir. He's over 70. I can't even call him his name.
Exactly, no.
Do you understand? Yeah. So, but you see, these are the things that, you know, you are dealing with two different environments. And your children are wondering, the guy said to me, call me Jill.
Yeah.
Why can't I call him Jill?
Oh, and I said, him. Jill.
You can't call him Jill. Because if I take you down to Africa and you go and meet Baba Yabo, and you say,
Hi.
It is like going to do like this. Do you understand? So, and I said, no, we don't do that. And I give my reasons. Why is it that we don't do that? We don't do that because, number one, he's older. But two, when people are older, you have to honor them. You have to, you have to give them that honor. Okay? At least respect them. He carries himself gracefully. So you don't go and start calling. Yes, I know that in your school, you call everybody, your principal, everybody, just call them name. That is school. But here, we don't do that here. Okay? Now, what are the things that we have to unlearn as a family is this. In Nigeria, this concept of I have spoken is final. In dealing with the children, I have to expunge that. You are dealing with children that their level of exposure is so high that the kind of things they know at their age, you are, because in school, different. So now what it means, we have to sit down and reason together. So I will ask you, whatever you belong to in your school, why are you doing what you are doing? We'll have a conversation around that. I said to my children, we have a rule here. Whenever you come back from school, I want to hear everything that happened. The good, the bad, everything. I said, I must not hear anybody define you outside other than what I know. I am the one that spent more time with you. So tell me everything that happened today. Tell me your wins. Tell me your failures. Discuss your tears. We'll discuss it. Okay. Now, that's a different thing because back home, as you are coming back, once you want to start your complaint, well, go and take off your clothes, my friend, and go and do what you're supposed to do. Okay? Because parents do not have listening ear. Now, I know that it's changing among younger generation, but I'm talking about when we were raised.
Yeah.
Our parents do not. It's just basically they want to provide
survivor
for you.
Survivor mode, man. Survivor mode.
That's it.
The economy was horrible.
Once you start saying, Tunde did this to me, my friend, exactly. I don't understand.
Just even slap, sir. You know, if a teacher should call and say you're being naughty,
come out. Did I send it to go and be listening to? You go and face your studies. So we suppress the children's voices. We shut it down.
Yeah.
In Nigeria, we shut it down.
Yeah.
Now, when we were raised, I don't know, right now, I know that younger parents are redefining
they're different. They're getting, I think it's getting better in that area, you know. Some are taking to the extreme where their kids are their friends, you know. I'm like, eh.
Yes, yes. I know that one. So you must balance it. Mm. Meaning that it's like, you know, as a father, you're a shepherd. You, as much as you will, if the sheep wants to cross the road, you bring them back. You're not saying, okay, no problem, just go ahead and cross. The vehicle is going to wait for you. No. So that's the extremities that we have to curtail. As people who have tasted both sides, you do not now say, because I must listen to the child, that means everything the child says now has to pass. No. Okay? Your child must still have that concept saying that, as much as I have conversation with my father, my dad will tell me where I'm wrong. And my dad will tell me, this and this and this are the things that I believe that you should do to be able to get out of this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, for example, you have a child that is struggling with self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what are you going to do? It's not just saying, tell them all of them, they can go to hell. I don't care. No.
It's not quite as first. Yeah.
It is first. What do you think is causing this low self-esteem?
Mm.
Okay? Because you see, you have to watch your children, even among themselves, when they are playing, and maybe somebody says something, the other one is already feeling moody.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, that means that there's
a trigger point. Yeah.
You have to reach out, you know, to address. So you start walking that child through the journey one step at a time.
Mm.
And start holding that child's hand. Anytime you hear that she displays self-confidence, you must bring it and say, I heard you did this. You display self-confidence. I'm very proud of you.
Mm.
This is what I was talking about. This one. So you must validate where the child is
positive making stuff. Good. Yeah. Because we allow that with the negative stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. So these are the things you must find a way to help your child navigate those areas. And you are the one who is in a better position to do that.
Mm.
Rather than saying, listen, no. If they talk to you this way, just tell them that you are no more their friends and face where you are going. I didn't say you can make friends. You went there to read. Yes, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But as the child has her own ecosystem that she is, that will be a challenge to her, to him or her. So you must help that child navigate that.
Mm.
Because you want to raise a child that is confident, takes decision based on what she wants to do, not based on what the crowd wants.
The peer. And the peer can be quite influential if you let them, because, and they're so...
Very, very influential.
It's so horrible in this part of the world, because if the parents are not really there, they rely on their peers. And these peers, their brains are still developing. You know, issues with vaping, with porn, with illicit drug use. A lot of things.
And there's sometimes I tell my kids, I say, listen, all of us, all of you come to the same class, you see that, don't get it twisted. You're not from the same home. I say, because next person has next to you, this one is sitting next to you. Don't get lost in the crowd that thinking, because all of you are confined to that place for the 8 hours, that means that you're not from the same home. You're not.
Mm.
I say, some people came to your school this morning. When they, as they were leaving, their father was already stoned.
Chris, you didn't go all the way.
As they were leaving, their mother was already stoned.
Yes.
So, and I said, listen, I said, some kids are being raised by their grandparents.
Mm.
Why is it that grandparents gives you everything that you need? It's because you are not their problem.
Mm.
Grandparents will give children, you know, they are the soft part in the house.
Oh, yeah. It's not the parents we had. They're wondering, what happened to the strict father or mother I had? With their grandparents, you know, they're so different.
Because their grandparents, you are not their problem. They've done their bit.
They've done their bit.
Just want to enjoy their grandchildren.
Although, I'll give it to them. They try their best, though. They try their... Shout out to the grandparents.
But I'm saying that they've done their best to raise you. Now they expect... They've handed over the baton to your parents to raise you.
Yeah.
So now it's no longer time for them to be shouting at you.
They're raising. No. They're not raising. They've done their part.
So it's important, you need to understand that when a child is seeing the father not being responsible, and it's a continuous pattern whereby father is always incapacitated by what he is addicted to. When you see that happening, that child comes to school with so much hurt, with so much pain, because there's no love at home.
Mm.
When you say no, even if you say hi, the child will find a fault. Understand that you need to show compassion to that child. I teach my children those things.
Mm.
And don't begin to think, because don't assume the way your own family is, that's how every family. Mm. No. All of us came from dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
It's only those of us who made up our mind that say, you know what, this has to stop here.
And
right
it
now.
Stops, yeah.
That's it.
Okay, I have questions about you and your wife's relationship, but let's, for this parenting one, I have two other questions. I feel like we tie this up nicely. And thank you so much. I really admire your principle on parenting with intentionality and how you see each of your children as individuals, not just part of a group. And like you said, it takes time. I also imagine it takes emotional presence and often breaking away from those traditional fathering norms to do that well. Especially in our culture, how we were brought up, where that kind of intimacy wasn't always modeled or encouraged. So I'm curious to know, do you ever take your kids out one-on-one, like on individual dates or outings, to connect with them personally? And I'm asking this, you know, as almost like to even help me, because as you know, we just had another child, and we're noticing that with Ari being an only child for the longest time, she's doing that more and more, and someone from church had just casually mentioned that. But I'd like to know how you do that and how, what you've seen from those moments with your children, if you go on those kind of dates or adventures with them.
So this is one of the things we do. Okay, yeah, my wife has talked about, okay, when is their birthday, let me have it just father and daughter's time.
Mm.
Okay. Now, one of the things we do as a family is we have certain culture. We started that in Nigeria, and we have maintained that even living in Canada. Now, we had three girls for a long time, okay? And because, you know, we are raising girls, when we were in Nigeria, we used to take our children to, we take them to maybe, let's say, Sheraton for a buffet. We take them to very nice places, okay? We do it, I think, once a quarter or something when we were in Nigeria. So we do that, we take them there. Because we wanted them to see those places before anybody will introduce them to it. Okay? So then we move to Canada. In Canada, we do, I think, every first Sunday, we eat out as a family. Stay out there, just eat out. We, you know, there we are discussing, we are chatting, we are laughing, different things are happening. And when it's anybody's birthday within that month, the person is the one who will choose the restaurant.
Nice. Okay? Everybody eats whatever they want to eat.
Yes, so we just go there, we're just chasing, we're laughing, we're saying things, we're just bonding. So then as we are bonding, I am throwing some nuggets. My wife is throwing some things. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So these are the things that we do. And we try to teach them things from everything around them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And say, did you see, if you are coming in and you don't hold the door for the next person, okay, it's going to be considered rude. Okay, because there are waiters and waitresses does not mean that you should leave the whole table messed up.
Mm.
Okay, so these are the things we have, those kind of times whereby we just all those at moment time out, we stay together to talk with the kids and all that. Now the next one I want to move, because now they are becoming teenagers, is to now say, okay, fine, Kayla, come, let's go. Let's go. So please. Now, sometimes, let's say, for example, if I'm going to pick you up from your sports activity, okay, maybe one of them is playing badminton in school, okay, is in a school badminton team. Mm. So if I go and pick you up, it's an opportunity for me to start talking with you. And, you know, one of the things I do when I want to start some things, I don't think it should be nice to have a chocolate. Then I try the chocolate, please. Then I'm trying to buy time, so that we can start having some conversation.
Yeah.
Then we also do something. If we get a report from school, we'll call you and have a meeting with you. Not with all of them.
Oh, just the individual child. So that way they don't use it. Because kids can just say, hey, you did this in school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll have a meeting with that child.
Mm.
First, we want to know. Because I know them. I know them. So if I hear a report, I can tell you didn't do that thing.
Mm.
if I hear a report, it's in line with the challenge I wanted to deal with. Do you understand? Mm. So I can tell. So I first want to hear, did you do this?
Yeah, or not?
Why did
yeah.
you do what you did?
Mm.
Okay. Then we'll go to, now you can see, because I caught it early in the family, I told you about this thing. But it's as if you forgot and you played out to school.
Mm.
So I tried to tie it up. I say, listen, because we are watching you, when they said you did this, I could tell you did it. Mm. Mm. Those are part of our conversations we've had.
Yeah.
So it's very important that one pays close attention in dealing with the children.
Mm.
Bonding with your children is more important. See, that's why, that's the reason. You see all this chasing money. You don't get me wrong. You can't do family without money.
Without money. Money is good.
But again, there has to be balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, at the essence of the family, money, like you said, yeah.
Yes. For me, I'm the one who's out there, whatever. My wife, even in making choice of a career, she did it within the context down. Of yeah. family time.
Yeah.
Going to allow family time. So, and I'm grateful to God for that, because she's not, like, you know, chasing money here, chasing... In Nigeria, she worked in only one place. She was there for like 10 years.
Wow.
Okay? In Canada, she's not in the place, just in that place.
Yeah.
Because that time, whatever we take, that would deprive us. But both of us cannot be out there.
At the same
whatever
time,
would deprive us from having that time with the family to be able to, you know, give more time to the kids and all that. Yes, we try to do vacation, but don't forget, you can't do vacation every month.
With four kids now. And three of them, they fly full price.
Exactly. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that's just what it is.
Okay.
So it's important.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. And how did your third born cope with the new baby? You know, so how old was she when he was born, by the way?
She was 8.
Ooh. How did she do with the, you know, no longer the last born? Was there some little bit of regression, or she did very well?
No, because they were so excited. They wanted
and it was a boy too.
They were asking for a brother.
Yeah,
so the excitement is not, there's even no, because all of them pamper him, because she's 8, she's, you know, now she's 10 and he's 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's, there's no basis for that. She had grown that stage. You know,
yeah, so, I'll say this about your kids, they are very lovely people, and they're definitely a reflection of you and Vivian. I remember when we came with you with Arife, and they made her hair and, you know, took great care of her, like she they loved on her so much, and it was just so nice to see, like, all of them just coming together. And the next time I came without her, they didn't even remember me until your wife mentioned, that's Ari's mom. Oh,
exactly.
I'm like, it's okay. All right. I think it's gonna be like my final blocks of questions. So first of all, I want to start by saying I want to take a moment to acknowledge something you don't always get the recognition it deserves, the way you honor and protect your wife, both publicly and privately. You don't remember this. 5 years ago when I came to see you in Canada, there were some things you mentioned about how you make sure that there's no family interference at all when it comes to you and your wife. Like, you will put your foot down. Like, they cannot come through her. They can't come to her through you. And in our own cultural context, where the weight of extended family expectations often falls heavily on women, and where I think male leadership in the home is sometimes viewed as control rather than care, the way you stand by your partner, I think, is both powerful and honestly countercultural. We can talk about love. It's very easy to talk about love. But it's another thing entirely to choose your spouse consistently, especially when doing so means pushing back on things you've known or disappointing people who raised you. And I feel like that forms a good model of partnership. But that's hard, especially in our men, you know. So I want to ask you this. Maybe I already know the answer because you've shared it. But I want to ask you this, Chris. What shaped this intentional protective approach to partnership for you? Because, you know, this is not normal with our men. Now when I say normal, it's not the norm.
Perfect. So, in my growing up, I asked a question. I said, tell me a story. Tell me, people, tell me what happened about this divorce. Oh, I heard that, okay, my dad's siblings, they came and said, okay, you know what, listen, that may not be the total story, but at least that's
what
I heard. Oh, they came and said, you know what, don't worry, I'm going to look for another wife for you. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't understand. You come from your house. and enter my house, and you tell me to tell my wife to leave. Okay, when my wife left, your own wife, did she stay?
Me.
All of us have to be on zero. We have to be on zero. So everybody should first ask their own wife to leave. Then so that me too, I can understand it. No, we cannot be on. You can't be having your own and tell my own wife to leave. It's not possible. So I spotted some things and I said, one of the things that led to all these things are sibling weakness. When you have weakness towards your sibling, some men make certain mistakes. You don't understand. See, I tell myself, my wife was where she was. I am the one that said I'm in love. I went to bring her into this family. I will protect her till I die. Why did I say that? Because you need to understand that she was in her father's house. She had no problem. She had been raised in the way she was raised. I'm the one that says, I'm in love. Come and be bearing my name. For the fact that she's bearing my name, for the fact that I'm the one that invited her in this family, anything you have against her, you tell me. Okay? When you finish telling me, just be rest assured, I'm not going to tell you she's wrong.
That's what I remember you mentioned that. You never said
that. Will I go to the room and tell her if she's wrong, that she's wrong? I will tell her. But you that told me, I won't tell you that she's wrong. I'll tell you she's protecting her terrain. So, first thing first, I made up my mind to love my wife indeed. So, what does that mean to me? The Bible says, I'm sorry to say for those who are not Christian, but I have to quote it. Says, husband, love your wife as Christ
loves the church.
Loves the church. Now, hold on there. Now, let's bring it. The Church of Jesus Christ today, we have all manner of characters. We have the one they will say is a fake pastor, yet God didn't kill him. That Church of Jesus Christ. We have the one that they say is original pastor. He has his own style. God did not go and kill him. We have a priest that they will say, where he's giving communion, he's crossing boundary. God didn't kill him. That woman that is in your house, the little thing she has done that is her own weakness, why do you want to expose her and put her in trouble as if you're a saint? So I tell my wife, in this marriage, nothing is about me. Nothing. And nothing is about you. It's about both of us. So, for nobody has the right to come here and tell me how I'm supposed to treat you. Keep your opinion and manage your own house. I don't go to your own house. I don't go to anybody.
I don't offer unsolicited advice.
I don't even offer it. If both of you want to kill yourself, in quotes, that is entirely up to you. Okay? But don't cross and come and tell me how to love my wife. One of the things I did was, when I was getting married, I told myself, what is wrong with being an Igbo man in marriage? I had to look at all the cultural anomalies. And I said, because the scripture says that you made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. This is how we do it in Yoruba land. This is how we do it in Igbo land. This is how we do it in Canada. This is how we do it in America. And that's why I tell some people, listen, because you came to a place that says, oh, you have a right over this, over this, over this. Don't raise yourself where you have become too touchy with everything. Some couple now, they can no longer have conversation. Is no, you are rude. You are insulting me. Okay, calm down. This is where we are coming from. There are things that are joke to us, which you know is cultural to us. That's why both of us are first black. Do you understand? Yeah, so it is cultural to us. And not just black, Nigerians. There are certain things we can say in Pidgin. It is cultural to us. We joke with it. How can you suddenly become sensitive with those kind of things? That shows that you are eating another kind of apple.
Not the kind Eve gave.
So it is important for you to look at it and say, listen, we are going to, and that's why I say, see, the scripture cannot be broken. Respect your wife. Anywhere you find yourself, it is easy for both of you to remain married. If your wife respects you, anywhere you find yourself, easy for both of you to remain married as well. So it's important that you provide men. Please protect your wife. your wife is not a saint. Just the same way you're full of your own mess. Okay? Protect your wife. If your wife knows that she's protected, she will fight for you on her knees and anywhere she finds herself. But when you throw your wife under the bus because your uncle said, and I said something to somebody recently, I said, listen, where do you draw the line? You know, you can be emotionally attached to an uncle who raised you up and sent you to school in America, right? He paid your school fees. Uncle can be overstepping and you will still be following sheepishly. So how do you draw that line?
And we know how to play that game. Oh, my uncle sacrificed for me. My mother sacrificed for me.
Thank you.
Oh, my mother. My uncle.
You get up one day, you go and see Uncle Almighty. You go and see him. See, Uncle, I want to say a big thank you for all you've done for me. But I want to plead with you. See this aspect. I have one aspect of my life. One.
That you cannot touch.
This aspect, please leave this aspect for me. Okay? I have shown you honor in every area of my life. You see this one? This one. I am the one that founder. I am the one that will manage her. Because a lot of problem in African setting that happened in marriages, a lot of them are from third parties.
Extended family, yep.
And you must know how to shut the door. You cannot be, you know, that's why they say that when a culture, you know, applies too much respect to the old, you will know when you run into error.
So just for the sake of respect, even when the old is wrong, just for the sake of it. We're not saying don't respect your elder, but just for the sake of it.
Just so you need to understand that you have to protect your spouse. You have to be committed. Okay, for me, I say to myself, some people they've never met me, but they'll tell me, I know your wife and children. Okay, so maybe by virtue of my WhatsApp status or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And I am being intentional with my family life. I'm being intentional with it.
Yeah.
So that's it. I hope I answered your question.
Oh, no, that was deep. That was really deep. And thanks for answering that. I have two follow-up questions. You gave a chat that protect your wife. Now, in family, in situations where it's gone on for so long that the wife doesn't feel protected, for example, and it's caused resentment because you know that when it comes to this person's family, you can't even get a buy-in. And it's there's a way you kind of like maybe want to shut yourself out or you want to protect yourself, over protect yourself at the expense of this person's extended family's influence. For wives in that situation, what would you like to say to them? And then for men who find it very difficult to draw those boundaries when it comes either to their siblings or to their uncles or parents or things like that, how can they start getting it right? How can they even understand that this is a problem that it kind of embitters the taste, the world, it pollutes the world of marriages?
Okay, fine. So one of the things I've noticed is this. A lot of time when you see men that they don't know how to stand their ground and say no. Okay? And say, okay, now, for example, let me explain to you. In some marriages, when mother-in-law visits, either from the woman's side
or from the
man's side, just walk into the bedroom as they like, they go outside if they like, it doesn't happen in my house. And it cannot happen. I think when I visit my parents-in-law, I don't walk into your bedroom as I like. I don't walk out as I like. The same thing, my parents, my mom, blessed memory, you can't come to my house, you walk into my bedroom as you like, you walk out as you like. It starts from all those kind of little things. Now, I understand some families, they live as if they are nudist, in quotes. No, meaning that there is no boundary. You know what I mean? Everybody just, they do what they like. To them, this is bonding. But we need to understand that once people are married, that's why I told a couple, I said, listen, you and your husband, go and sit down and define how you are going to be married. Forget what your father taught you. Forget what your mother taught you. Now that both of us are here, because if I bring what my mother taught me, if it's not universal, truth about things will be universal. If it's her own style of saying, do it like this, do it like this, and I now marry somebody and that's not her own style, you both of you have to agree on what is going to be our new norm in this place. Okay? Or else, you are going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your husband. So, husband, all this over respecting Uncle So and So, because a lot of times, it's not always everybody in the extended family. It's always one person or certain group. Those group will go and pitch tent. Husband, what are you going to lose if you tell those people? You see all this sending message to me, my wife did this, my wife did that, my wife didn't do this, my wife didn't do that. Don't worry. She has done everything. No problem. She did all. Okay? But don't send it again. We need that. You know, that's where you need those, you know, men who are audacious, who can say, and what is love? Love is not, does not mean that as you are poking me in the eyes, I shouldn't tell you that I'm feeling hot. So love is firm. Love is able to say no. The ability for you to say no to certain things when it comes to your marriage is a virtue that you have to crave to have. Love means you love those people enough so that your wife can continuously respect them. That's why you have to have a meeting with them, have a conference meeting with them and say, guys, I've listened to you all these years. Okay? At this point, just leave me and Morenike alone. We're all right. Do you understand? Or else, except you are telling me you are comfortable with, because you see some people, okay, fine, let's even come. Simple as property. Simple as property. Some people are married. When they want to buy property, they want to write name. He will write only his name and come and tell his wife that we bought a property simply because you're the one that have the upper hand financially. What are you already doing? You're already telling your wife that she's just here to give birth to children and she doesn't have a stake in this place. Okay? So when you are doing those kind of things, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Now, I don't care whether if you live in the West, if you have prenup thing you signed, that is entirely up to you. That's your pattern you are running. Okay? However, if you don't have those things, both of you are living as a wife and you want to remain married and you don't want to mix things and everybody wants to be asking, taking their own name and going their own way and doing those things, I wonder what both of you are doing. So when you start doing those kind of things, what you are going to find that will start happening is this. Wife will tell her own parents to come without informing you.
Yep.
You will tell your own parents to be coming without informing you. Your wife will walk in one day from work and realize that your mother has landed. Ah. See, mommy, I want you. Ah, okay, she too, she'll balance herself. First time is a shock. Second time, she has volunteered. It's okay now, mama. If she didn't prepare for her, she didn't prepare. She goes upstairs and go have her sleep and face where she's going. The family can continue the gossip. But, you know, everybody will say, that woman is the problem. She's the problem. She's the terrible woman. But you are the one. You already started the thing. A lot of time, men will start the crack. Every woman, when they enter the marriage, okay, once they enter a marriage, what are they doing? They want to quickly do what? Once they enter a marriage, they want to, you know, women are territorial. They want to just protect that place.
Yeah.
Take your place, honor that place. And do. Once you start showing crack like this, that, see, don't forget your single days. Start grab them. Start grab your single life. Start grab it. Meaning that the way she used to buy her property alone, the way she used to do her things alone, once she goes back to it, and you know the funny thing, you know, men can exit and come back. When the woman has exited,
she's done. She's done.
Can be there, but she's gone.
Done. She's done. She's done.
So what I'm saying in a nutshell is,
she didn't see. There were no signs. There were no signs.
Exactly. So all I'm saying is, people must learn to have hard conversations in marriage. I keep saying something. Marriage is not just about we love ourselves, we love ourselves. That is cliche. Where the love starts is in your action. And we must learn to have hard conversations. Well, I remember when I just got married. When I just got married. Because me, once something troubles me, I can't sleep. have a fragile heart. I can't sleep. It's as if it's stone in my mind.
You might even dream about it too. Yeah, I feel you.
I will wake my wife up 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I'll wake her up. Because in my mind, are you able to sleep? Are you sleeping? So, but now, because we've passed all that stage, no more waking up.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and I said, I remember one thing I said to my wife, in this marriage, there's one thing that must be going on. What is that thing? Communication.
Yeah.
You must be saying it as you feel like. Don't worry whether it's correct or not. Just say it.
Okay. You can adjust it later.
But the only thing is this. We say it with respect.
Mm.
And I say, in marriage, there are certain areas you must not touch. Number one, how you touch your union to say, if you don't do this thing, I'm going to divorce. Once you start that language, you're already sowing a seed.
Mm.
The first time you say it, your spouse will think twice. You know what you are saying to them? Wait a minute. From now henceforth, we shouldn't be buying property together. From now henceforth, we shouldn't be doing certain things together. Because for the fact that you can think of that. So, what is the core in your marriage that you shouldn't touch?
Mm.
When you are having arguments, don't touch those things. Don't touch those things. Mm. Honor that area and let it stay out of the argument. You can say the way your head look, the way your eye look, whatever it is. But to touch why both of you are together, to say, I am going to leave now. And then suddenly tomorrow you say, no, you didn't mean it. You have sown a seed. From that moment, anything can start happening.
So much to unpack from there. But those were great, great gems. And I love how you address both the wife's perspective and the husband's perspective. But I think if we're to kind of summarize it, it's, you know, dying to self, one, and knowing that the marriage is not about either of you, it's about both of you. And what keeps your core together, having that open communication and being respectful and giving a space where your wife feels like she can trust you, and there's, you know, that emotional connection as well. Those are really great tips to live by. And I want to just say thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're going to come back on the podcast. I think you need to do another one on marriage series. I brought you here for Father's Day, but we've touched on marriage, because there's no way you can talk about fathers and, you know, fatherhood and parenting without hinting on marriage. And I'm so thankful for you and also for Vivian, because you're doing a wonderful job. And like I said earlier on, I pray that all of your hard work would keep eating those fruit that you want them to yield. Are there any other things you'd like to add before as we close us off today, so I can let you on off?
Okay, so what do I want to add?
Mm.
Husband.
Mm.
Be a true husband to your wife. Wife. Be a true wife and a mother to your children. Husband, wake up and do your job. I hear some men are not willing to help their wife in this West that we are living in, and yet you have no nanny. Okay? I encourage you, please make life easy for this young lady that you brought into your life. Okay? As much as she wants to be a slave king, she too wants to be a slave queen. She does not also like that the nail she spent $50 to make should just be breaking like that in 2 weeks. And yet you didn't bring money for her to replace it, because you want to kill her with work. And you are chairman at home, you will not do nothing. Please, we're in the West. In the West, because in Africa, you can go and hire 4 nannies and they'll be doing things. That will be understandable. In the West, we help our wives. In the West, we bait the children. In the West, we do things. Okay? So, please step up your game. If your wife understands mechanic language, they are not living up to your task.
Mm.
Please. If she's the one going to be changing her winter tire and doing everything, and she still has to come and cook, has to come and do everything, please, I beg of you, try and help this woman. Don't let her faint. I speak for the women. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Chris, what a conversation. You know, there's something powerful about hearing a man speak so openly about fatherhood, about partnership, and showing up for his family. And that it's not out of, you know, obligation, but out of love and deep intention. And thank you so much today for reminding us that we protecting your wife, and it's something that can be done even when it's not popular, or even carving out time for each of your children, each of your child, or choosing to be the kind of father you never had a model for. And especially as a Nigerian man, especially navigating life across two continents, you're doing something bold. You're leading both at home with tenderness and strength, and so unapologetically. So to all of our listeners, if this episode resonated with you, you want to first of all go back and listen to that episode 9, where Chris first joined the podcast, talk about his, you know, entrepreneurship journey, purpose, and building with vision. But thank you all for tuning in today. Thanks for listening to the podcast, where we try to hold space for all the parts of who we are, our past, our present, and who we're becoming. So until next time, everyone, please take care of yourselves, take care of your people, your wives, your husbands, your children, and as always, keep evolving. Chris, we'll bring you back. Don't worry, you're already part of the podcast. You just don't know this yet. But thank you so much. What a lovely time with you on the podcast, as always. Thank you, and I'm thankful for your time.
Thank you.
I'm going
as
to
you normally do. As you normally do, go and listen to the podcast. Remove the one you don't agree with. Remove the one that Chris has stretched himself inside. Remove it.
Which give one them would what, they take umbrage with? Everything was great.
Yes. No. I mean, give them the one you know they can stomach, the one they can take, the one that will not cause problem. But the truth is, I want to say something. We need to do more. I'm very much passionate about family life in the West. Some of our people are beginning to miss something. Our lawyer told us something. He said, one of our friends, they were doing their 10 years, so invited this lawyer, so he came. And he said, the divorce rate in Nigerian community right now in this city is so high. What I mean is so high. A friend of mine told me before. Now, this is not in your podcast. We're just gisting now.
Yeah.
A friend of mine told me before. He said that, do you know that the Nigerian community, our divorce rate, it has surpassed the Caucasians.
In Canada?
Yes.
Wow.
Why? Because, you see, if you guys are, let's say you are 200,000, okay? And inside that 200,000, 60,000 has divorced. And you have Caucasians, maybe they are 2 million. And in that 2 million, let's say 500,000 has divorced. Are you no more in number?
Wow.
So we need to visit these things. Because some people have not made that switch to say, I live here now. In this place, there is no nanny. And neither do you even have the money to hire the nanny, but you just come home and be watching ball and be doing chairman. Secondly, some people also came here to settle scores with their spouse. So we need to do more, because you see, people are listening to Mosibil. We need to find a way. That's my own a little suggestion. We need to do a little bit more on family, love life, and all those things. A lot is going on. Trust me. When I mean a lot, career, we have gotten it right. I can tell you that. Nigerian community, when it comes to career, we have gotten it right. Okay? We have a lot of high-flying people doing great things, doing massive things. Right now, it's important for us to go back to the basis. Go back to the basis. See, so that we do not chase money beyond, because, you see, it's going to be so much pain at your old age, all those things you thought, the children you thought you were working the money for, suddenly you realize that you didn't equip them enough to be able to do what? To be responsible enough to manage what you have handed over to them. So please, whatever you do, I am always available when it comes to, I'm passionate about this family life, because let's be honest, everything begins and ends at the family point. Some people are living like strangers in their houses. I said the level of divorce is not a joke. Some of our ladies too have misunderstood some things about this place. Just because they say you have a right. You are now so touchy. And that's why I threw it in a little during the podcast.
Yeah.
You're now so touchy. You can no longer take any small joke. Because it's now, oh no, you've insulted me. Oh, you've done this. Oh, you've done. And before you say Jack, they're already meeting a lawyer. Before you say Jack, the whole thing is done. Who suffers? Who
the
suffers?
Kids. The kids. Yeah.
So please, let's find a way to help our community.
I'll add that to the long list of things we're supposed to work together on. That and the entrepreneurial part of it. But yeah. I don't think Canada is unique in that sense. Even in the UK and even in the US here too. And people will say, oh, well, if we're in Nigeria, perhaps there's something about the West where when women feel more liberated, you know, they feel like they have choices. We can talk about that, but also talk about some of the things that have been building up that were never addressed, right? And this place just gives that environment for you to kind of like grow, and you have the backing of the government saying, don't worry, we'll give you welfare, we'll do all of that, you know. But then,
for example, I know a friend, great guy. The wife divorced him 42,000 feet. That's where he was divorced. As he were coming from Nigeria to Canada, she told him.
First time?
Told him. Oga, Bagbipa, I marry more.
Was it the first time they were coming here?
First time. Wow. Relocating down here.
Wow.
This guy still tried to push. I was the one that went to help him move his load out of the house.
They're divorced now.
Yes. Do you understand? He said after she told him that, you know, he tried to see if he could walk. He tried. He did, you know, we want to see if this thing could work and all that. He was in it here for like 3 years or so. But it was like 3 years of hell. So he had to leave.
And they have kids together?
No kids. So that's why their separation was very smooth.
But still, wow.
Do you understand?
Again, if you talk to the wife, she probably will tell you some of the things that happened, like, you know, that
now,
I never worked on.
I understand. Now, this is the thing. Now, he told me his own side, okay? And said, you know, this, and said that, or how when they were leaving Nigeria, on Friday, the wife would carry her load and go to Chevron side in Lekki. He wanted the guy to go and live there because he started to live there. He said, listen, this is where I'm living. This is a nice house, a nice duplex. Nothing is wrong with it. I am not packing to Lekki.
That was what justified.
So a lot of things were already wrong foundationally. Okay. Now that is his own side
of the story. Yep.
Because you know, in my course of my work, I meet some people.
That three
people, when you meet them, yes. Once you meet them, they start telling you. Once you start telling me the other person's fault, everything, you never see what you did.
Then that's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah.
And some people sit with them, even you that came to service them. Once you sit with them and before you leave that service rendering, you will find out one or two things. You say to yourself, me, Mua she service well. No she and don't beg me what if you go don't kill him. Do you understand? So what am I trying to say? I'm just saying that nobody's free from this whole thing.
That is also, yeah.
Husbands have to make adjustment. Wives have to make adjustment. And we have to give them the picture. Look at your children. See, leave all these things. You know, because now they've come here, they've seen models that, oh, husband can actually leave. This one will not have stepfather. This one, I say, is that what you want to be dealing with? Is that what you want to be dealing with? Leave what the movie shows you and what it. A lot of cries are going on. You want to move some people. I'm supposed to just move and go. Oh, my best, Rojo. Rojo Okoewo, Rojo Okuma, Rojo.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm not interested in this conversation. I came here to park your load and be going. So, but that also tells me that there is a problem. So whatever way we can help people to say, because some people see me, man, I like the way, you motivated me to start putting up my wife's picture on my status or something like that. Oh, you motivated me to, you know, the way you, I say, listen, and oh, they will say power couple. I say, it's a lot of intentionality. It's a lot of intentionality. It does not mean that we do not offend ourselves.
I'm a dynamic couple. Yeah.
Your offense does not see the light of the day. Okay. So it's very important that people understand those things, that it's not just, you put up her picture and then you are just misbehaving. That's not what it is. Okay. It's not, we're not doing public show. It is from the heart, what the heart is speaking that we're doing outside. Okay. So it's very important that we look at those things and then we'll be able to find a way to marry it. And because some people are a little bit confused how to navigate their marriage in this West. So we need to find a way to put out things
support
there.
Them. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, what they'll be able to do and all that. Because, see, even though the government says, call this counseling, whatever, if those things that we are working,
they're not even culturally responsive to what we go through. If anything, it just weaponizes the grief and the hurts. Don't get me wrong. Seek help, okay? Seek help and do the work. But it takes two people to make it work.
It takes two people, okay? And it has to be something where you are willing to pay that price, okay? Mm-hmm. And once you're a family person, it will influence everything you do. For me, for example, it will influence. See, I say when we're coming here, I didn't plan to stay. I wanted to come and settle my wife and children and go back.
Yeah. What made you
but
stay?
I will not forget. As I entered bus like this, Muko really buy me 32 earrings. CB, can you conceive? I just said to myself, oh boy, don't worry, money will always come. Let's leave money first.
The future of your kids.
This is my prized possession. I will sit with them. You understand? That's how I stay, though. I am telling you. And thank God, you see, I always say to men, whatever you do that is going to bring glory to God and honor to your family, God will honor your life. So it was a great sacrifice for me because I had to start all over again.
Do you understand? Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
But it's better for me to go through that and then raise children that will be mighty upon the earth, not children that will become problematic, you know, to society.
Yeah.
So all this issue of I'm chasing career, I'm doing this and doing all this is... And your children have not seen you for 7 months. You don't even know. Okay, they've not even seen you for 7 months. I have a friend, he lives in Nigeria, his family is here. But you know he has a meeting with his children every Saturday.
Oh, his family is in Canada, he's in Nigeria.
Yes. Wow. Because he has a fantastic business, he can't afford to leave it
to
and
live
come
here.
Here.
But he's still parents. Yeah, I mean, however you can do it, yeah.
I said every Saturday they have family meeting.
Mm.
Except maybe it's so tight, maybe it's airborne or something. Do you understand? So you have to find something. You can't just say because you are traveling, you just detach from your family and just be doing a paid school fees. No. Don't do that. If it is, we need to find out. Technology has made a lot of things easy for us. You are in Oklahoma, I'm in Calgary right now, and we're having a conversation.
Yeah, technology.
Why can't you do something like this? When you come back from your almighty board meeting, you do a Zoom meeting and put all the whole family. You see your children. You speak to everybody in their languages. They are still feeling fatherly connection. Not giving your wife a reason to worry as if you've gone to Park on Susie to go and stay somewhere. Anyway, sorry, Jerry.
No. Why are you apologizing? No. Thanks for adding to that. We'll put that on our list. I'm making a note for my assistant as we're even talking. So that way they can... I'll drop that in the group chat now. But yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. I feel like I try hearing it from people with similar experiences and what kind of steps they can take in a proactive way to redeem marriages and to build people up. Because I think at the end of the day, it's still about self-leadership. If a husband knows their role and how they can, you know, love and protect their wife, if a wife knows their role and how they can work together with their husband, I think it will make the family unit very tight. So when you lead yourself, you can lead others. And yeah, that's
and it's very important. And like, for example, somebody asked me, we have a couple's meeting, so we're talking. And so I said something. I said, there's something my wife and I would do. You see, I love travel. One of my best travel buddies, my wife. Okay. Once you put yourself, both of you are in that space every time, in the space every time, there will be no malice. Whatever malice it is, it will cause. There will be no resentment. Whatever it is, it will cut off. Because you wake up, you see her, you see yourself. So there will be none. And I said, see, I pay price for my marriage. Traveling is not cheap.
It's
for example, me and Viv, we started doing something this year. Was it this year or sometimes last year? Okay, and she brought it up and we started doing it. So once a month, you will look for a place, either a restaurant or whatever, and surprise the other person and take it, the person there, the person that doesn't know. So we do that. Then, you know, Vivian raised the game with this staycation.
Nice.
Do you understand? So we have this now. So we now do it every 2 months. Do you understand?
No.
So you are the one that will go and look for that nice place and then go and wow the next person. Okay? Why are we doing all those things? So that we can continuously help our marriages.
Mm.
Help our marriage. We can continuously help ourselves. Staying together. You know, going back to the bed. Not carrying children along. No. Only both of you go together. Go and start. But if you have a mindset, kilo de wo hotel, you see, I'm a fish sebe. I'm having shaking this restaurant, this thing. If you know, that's why sometimes all this you're over accounting. Calm down. This, I tell people, you went to school for 4 years. They went on strike. You did it for 6 years. You did not tear shirt and leave the school. You were patient enough. Now that you are in this marriage, understand that there are certain sunking costs that follows for a union to be what it is.
Oh, yeah. It takes two.
Add it. Add that cost to it. If you are paying your mortgage and you are not grumbling because you know that you must pay, right? The same way it is. Whatever will strengthen your marriage, do it together.
Do it, yeah.
And once you do those things, it will help. Continuously have a great home. God helping us.
God help us all.
Is that when I stand before God, I want you to say to him, I did what I could do as you enabled me. I tried. Okay? Mm. Whatever I did not do, Jesus encouraged me.
I'm sure you're saying, my son, my faithful servant, you've done so well.
Prof, thank you so much. Always a
Thanks
pleasure to.
Same here. I'll bring you back. I will bring you back. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Vivian.
Yes.
Kisses to all kids. And we'll chat some more. I appreciate your time. I'll let you know when the episode comes out. So it's slated for June, for Father's Day. Thank you.